First Corinthians chapter 11. I want the whole time today be a time of worship. I'm going to do a message. We're going to talk a little bit about what was happening in the church of Corinth, especially when it comes to the Lord's Supper time. Now, by the way, you're going to look at something and they have the Lord's Supper different than we did, because it appears some was eating a whole lot at the time of the Lord's Supper, and some didn't have enough to eat. Well, if you ever ate one of them little wafers that they give out during the Lord's Supper, there's no way to get over stuff with that thing, or under stuff for that matter. But see, they had combined a couple of things in the early church. They had something called a love feast. Same term, agape love, it was called, and it was a time kind of like our fellowship suppers, when they'd come together and they would eat supper together, and then they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we're going to look at a few minutes of what was going wrong in their lives, but just a way of kind of worship this week. I kind of saw a paper on the Lord's Supper, and it started listing a bunch of names of God on it. Just a whole list to kind of get folks just their mind on the Lord. And so I decided I'm going to do a study through Psalms. Well, don't get started thinking you're going to get it done in a hurry, okay? I want you to know that doesn't work out too well. But I did go through it and picked out some different names, some different characteristics of God that's mentioned. I picked up a few more out of another book, but most of these I got myself, and it just reminds you of who God should be in your life and all the different things. By the way, if you've not done a study through Psalms, just reading through it, I actually started doing something. If I'd find a verse that I felt like God was just speaking to me in that verse, I put "for me" with a heart on the side of my Bible. Now, I didn't do every verses that way, but just every once in a while, I'd come across something God would speak to my heart. Put a heart on there for me. I want to encourage you. Read the Psalms. You're going to find the Psalms is one. It's the gamut of emotions. One minute David will be mad at God or something, and he'd just pour out his heart to God. The next minute, he'd be so on fire for the Lord, he'd pour out his heart there. And then even Asaph, one of the guys that wrote quite a few of them, same thing. You could see when he looked around and he saw those that were not saved prospering, and he'd be upset. And the next moment, he'd be remembering who God is in his life. And it's just a neat thing to see those things. But also, Psalms just bring out the heart of guys who were walking with God, struggling with God, struggling with life, kind of where we are sometimes. And just so many different things. Let me read a list of some of these. "He who sits in the heavens, my king, a shield, my glory, the one who lifts up my head, O God of my righteousness, O Lord, our Lord, O Most High, a refuge, the helper, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my support, my salvation, my redeemer, my shepherd, my light, my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense. The Lord redeems, mercy, faithful, righteous, the fountain of life, loving kindness, the help of my countenance, O mighty one, a very present help in trouble, the Lord Most High, our guide, judge, my God of mercy. You are my strong refuge, the strength of my heart, my portion forever, compassionate, a sun and shield, my horn, the Lord our Maker, God who forgives." Now, I don't know which word that was, but the way it was set off in the English was God/who/forgives. So there's a word that kind of brings out God who forgives, slow to anger and abiding in mercy. He is good. His mercy endures forever. Holy and awesome, my strength and my song. The banner of those who fear thee. The beauties of holiness, my darling. Dwelling place, the fairer than the children of men. A faithful witness in heaven. A father of the fatherless. A house of defense. A reward for the righteous. Very great, our God. He's so many things when you start looking in the Scriptures and the different names for God and Christ and the different work that He does in our lives. Especially you find in Psalms that He's a tower, a buckler, a shield, a fortress. He's the one that we can go to and know that He shall not be moved as long as we're in the Lord. Amen? Anchored to the soul. I love that one out of Hebrews. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that Jesus Christ, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you. Many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Wow. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Paul was taking care of some problems in church. By the way, Corinth had a lot of problems. This is just one of very many that they had as he's dealing with it. But what was going on in church? In fact, let me ask you, what kind of attitude should we have when we come to church? Do what? All right, attitude of worship would be great. What else? Humble and mercy. Absolutely. They didn't have any of that. Guys, the reason that we come to church is, first of all, our relationship with Christ. Okay? That's the reason we come to church. And second of all, the other reason is others. You caught that, didn't you? By the way, if you would go back and ask Jesus what the two great commandments would be in the Old Testament, what would Jesus say? All right, that's your relationship with God. What's the second one? That's others. You see, the Bible is not a bunch of books just thrown together that doesn't have a rhyme or reason. As some of Bible critics would tell you, the Bible works together, all right? It is lined up through and through from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And the reason that God has given us church is to build on our relationship with Him, which includes worship and us growing in the Lord, but also others. And if you notice, this group was coming together to celebrate one of the most humblest times together, and that was the Lord's Supper. And instead, they had little factions, little groups going on. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with having youth groups and senior adult groups and things like that, as long as you realize that that's not the only group. You see, they were praising each other in those groups with their buds, lifting each other up, not everybody. By the way, they came together for their love feast, and must not be like we have today. You know, when we have a dinner on the grounds, we combine everybody's food. We don't say, all right, Miss Debbie, you bring a cake, that's all you can eat.
Okay.
Didn't hurt her feelings a bit, did it? But what if somebody came that didn't have a lot of money, couldn't prepare something, and you told them, oh, you can only eat what you brought? Where would that leave the person that didn't have anything? That's the reason we don't do that. We put the dishes out there, not to mention we make a lot of other dishes. Because sometimes there's not enough food. And we want everybody to have plenty. And so we want everybody to be able to get something to eat and fellowship together. But they weren't doing it that way. They were using that time to, if they had a lot of money, they had plenty of food. Others would come, we'd go away hungry. That's real love feast, isn't it? You noticed, now you know that good Baptists don't drink, right? Did you catch what was happening in that church? Some were getting drunk. They must have left the grape juice out in the sun. Undoubtedly, there was some wine somewhere in there, okay? Somewhere involved in it, there was some wine brought together in those feasts, okay? Some were using it as an opportunity to party. All right, we're in God's house, let's party! That sounds like a contradiction, kind of, doesn't it? Do you notice what Paul said? Let me ask you something. Do you have a house? Then if you got a party, do it in your own house, not in God's house. Don't bring all your baggage to church. Church is for our relationship with God and our relationship with others. A lot of serious things going on there. You need to have the right attitude when you come to church. If you think church is about you, you've got the wrong attitude. Hello? So many people think church is about them. It's not. It's about your relationship with God. Now, either way, when you get that right, you're not going to worry about me so much. You're going to worry about that relationship with others, as Christ did. We have a problem with me, my, mine. You ever notice that? A selfish problem? These guys and gals did not care about other people, didn't care about if they had enough to eat, didn't care about if their needs were ever met. As long as they could take care of their needs and their buddies and their cronies, they were happy in their little groups. If you remember when Paul begins writing this letter, there's a lot of them divided up on who's the best speaker in the church. If you go back to about chapter 3, Paul said, well, some of you follow Apollos, some of you follow this one, some of you follow that one, some of them follow this one. And they were divided up, just little schisms, little divisions here and there. Guys, the great thing about the church of God, there shouldn't be divisions. Are we all the same age? No. Do we all come from the same cultural backgrounds? Absolutely not. We have some with southern accents. We have some with northern accents.
Some of us have no accents at all.
I hope you're not meaning yourself, brother, okay? I'm just saying. It doesn't matter what your color is. It's funny, we were talking about this morning. In Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus not being handsome. He was not handsome. Guys, when you see all these wonderful pictures that were painted usually by European painters to look like a European guy, man, girl, because I've heard they've even added women's features to Christ to make him look more attractive. The scripture says he was probably maybe homely. There was nothing in him that would draw people's attention to them. What? You can't picture Jesus being homely? How do you picture him? He'd be like who? Brother, I sure hope not. I don't believe it was quite that bad. I didn't read that in that verse. I'm sorry. Just kidding, Jeff. Just kidding. Man, I'm chasing a rabbit. Rick will have to shoot it. Did y'all see Rick come to Sunday school this morning? He had his suit and his tie on. I almost didn't recognize him. I thought we had a visitor. I'm fixing to get shot. Guys, you notice he gets back in verse 23. He said, listen, guys, remember, I've shared with you what Christ shared with me. This whole thing is about the body and the blood of Christ. That's what church is about. Without those things, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have a Lord. He said, I'm trying to remind you that church is not about yourself, but it's about Christ. And we come together to celebrate who He was and what He did for us. And you notice what He said? You have forgotten about the blood and body of Christ. Sometimes we don't give a lot of time to examine ourselves before the Lord's Supper. And I think we actually do a crime in that, because this passage tells us that each one of us should spend time looking at our lives to see if we're where we ought to be with the Lord. Now, I even think that there's that invitation in these verses to make sure you are saved. Hello? If you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should pass on the Lord's Supper. Because really, it's not a celebration for you or a remembrance for you if you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior. This is a church ordinance for those who've trusted Christ. And He said, if we're not careful, we can take the Lord's Supper wrongly. Did you notice? He said, you need to notice in your church there was some things happening. People were dying. You can see them when they meet next Sunday. What happened to Brother Ralph? Well, he passed away last week. He did. Yeah, and Sister Jill did too. You think they were wondering, well, why so many people passing away? Well, we've got a whole Sunday school class sick. Paul reminds them, guys, have you ever thought that maybe that's God bringing judgment upon you because you weren't serious about Him? You know, sometimes I hear preachers talk about Christ having a sense of humor. You know, as we were studying Isaiah 53 this morning, it didn't say anything about Christ's sense of humor. It talks about a man acquainted with sorrows. And I said, have you ever thought about maybe what Jesus was going through? This was God in the flesh with all the feelings and emotions that a person will have, only without sin, and experiencing the lostness of mankind when He came into the world. In fact, Jesus once said, he was traveling, preaching, healing, doing all kinds of miracles and things, and He said to His disciples, Have you noticed? He said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost and undone. It said he was moved with compassion because of sin. Well, guys, you know, we are very fortunate that we have the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? The grace of God is a free gift of eternal life. Not according to your works, but according to His. And I'm so glad of that. And yet we still have a responsibility. And what He's saying here, as believers, we come in the presence of God with unconfessed sin and selfishness in our life and expect to celebrate with Jesus? He said, get your life straight. Get it right. You notice the attitude. Notice up here in verse 33 for a minute. He said, therefore, brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Have you ever looked at all the one another's in Scripture? There's a lot of one another's. There is. Because church is about ministering one to another in the name of Christ. We get our relationship right with Him, and then we try to help others to get their relationship right with Him. We encourage each other, strengthen each other, build up each other, not neglect each other. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, as Paul said. He used two different words, examine yourself, and then he said, judge yourself. You're to spend some time, and I want you to be doing that right now. Spend some time and make sure things are right. If you got something against somebody, take care of it. If you got a sin in your life that needs to be confessed, take care of it before we move into the time of the Lord's Supper. Why? Because I want you to be able to fellowship with God. And without that, you won't have that fellowship that He wants to have with you. Amen? How about judging each other? Not each other, but judging ourselves. What does that mean? Jeff, if I said you need to judge yourself, how would you interpret that? Because you think you're pretty, okay? So we need to get you. If I ask you to judge... Well, yeah, but what you would do in judging yourself, you'd look at it and say, wow, my attitude's not right. I haven't been doing things right. You know, I've got some folks here I really don't get along with, and yet I'm supposed to be fellowshipping with them in the Lord's Supper together. I need to take care of that and make that right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Put up the big ruler. Well, guys, I want us to take just a few moments. We need to get into the Lord's Supper, and I want every head to be bowed right now and every eye closed. Father, we are not here to judge each other. The only one that we can rightly look into is our own life. And Father, in just a few moments, we're going to come together and we're going to honor and appreciate the sacrifice that You made for us. But Father, in order to be able to do that correctly, we need to make sure that we have got anything out of our life that would hinder that fellowship. So, Lord, I would pray right now for the believers that are here right now. Lord, You would just help them to examine themselves, to do whatever they need to do to take care of the thing that's there, so they can be ready in just a few moments to partake of the Lord's Supper as we fellowship one with another and we fellowship with You, Father. Lord, there may be someone here that really needs to have that salvation we've been talking about. They need to have that broken body and blood applied to their lives so their sins could be forgiven. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make that decision, Lord, they can come to you right now in a simple prayer of faith. They can pray something like, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, but I know that you love me. I know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I trust in that right now for the payment of my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior and Lord." Father, if someone prayed that and truly meant that, Father, in their heart, Lord, I'd pray that you just give them that assurance now that they do have that relationship, that blood, that broken body applied to their lives through your grace. Lord, I pray right now in just a few minutes, we're gonna do just a very simple Lord's Supper. But Lord, may our minds and our hearts be drawn to you. May we realize how much our Father in heaven loves us, in that it pleased him to bruise his Son so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, may we be mindful of what you did for us as you willingly laid down your life on the cross. The Bible said, "For the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross for us, knowing that through your sacrifice, we could have our sins forgiven and have a personal relationship with you." Oh, Father, thank you for loving us so very much. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.